Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis 21. In verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Imagine that. 100-year-old man having children. That's mind-boggling. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. God has made her laugh. Did you know that God wants to make you laugh? The Bible, for example, in the original language, is very witty. People don't always realize that, but it is. The Bible is very witty. There's a lot of humor in it, a lot of humorous situations. And in the original language, the way that certain things are put are actually puns. For those online who don't know what a pun is, it's a joke made out of the way that you use a word. And so, God has a lot of humor, He has a sense of humor, and He wants to make you laugh. Now, in the case of Sarah, and this is His biggest desire for us, is He wants to make us laugh through the joy that comes in Him doing something special for us. Never think to yourself that God won't do something special for you. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not that important. God wouldn't do that for me. That's not true. God says you're the apple of His eye. God says you're precious in His sight. God was willing to sacrifice His Son for you. So it doesn't matter who you are in the world. You're very, very precious and important to God. And one of His desires for you is to make you laugh. Now, Sarah laughed prior to that. In Genesis 18 and verse 12, she laughed, but in a negative way. That's when God gave the promise that was about 12, 13 years earlier, that they would have a son. And Sarah's thinking to herself, we're old. How are we going to have children? Old people don't have children. How are we going to have children? We're old. And the thought seemed so preposterous to her, she laughed in scorn. That's another kind of a laughter. God is not pleased with that kind of laughter because it's a laughter born in unbelief. But a laughter that is born in seeing God do something for you and then appreciating what He did, that's delightful. And it's God's intention to make every believer laugh with joy for what He has done for them. In Psalm 126:2, the Word of God says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. This is the source of our laughter. The Lord has done great things for us. Sometimes people don't have a lot of joy. And the reason is because they focus on difficult things. But understand something. You are selected by God. He chose you personally. He made you. He gave you a life. He indwells you if you're born again. He's never going away. He does everything for you. He directs your path. He provides your needs. If there's a problem, He'll take care of it for you. There's nothing that God is unwilling to do for you. There's nothing that God is unwilling to bring to you as a need. He'll give you absolutely everything. He says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why are some people not happy? Why are they not joyful? And the reason is because their focus is wrong. If I focus on my problems, then certainly I'm not going to be a happy person because all I see is problems. All I see is negative. All I see is difficult. But those things aren't anything. Those things are like, focus on the hammer that God is using to build something with. Okay, I'm going to look at the hammer. I'm not going to look at what He's building. I'm just going to look at the hammer and realize that He's got to pound the nail with this hammer, and He's going to pound it some more, and that just doesn't seem like a very happy circumstance for the nail, does it? It's silly thinking. It's ridiculous. No, everybody who builds something looks at the final outcome. They look at what they're building. God does the same thing. God looks at what He's building. We are His workmanship. God looks at what He's building. We look at His process and say, oh no, the process. God is like, what are you talking about? Look at the final outcome. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm building. Look at what I'm making in your life. Oh, but it's difficult. Yeah, but the difficulty produces love. Don't focus on the things that are meaningless. Focus on the things that are filled with meaning. But people focus on the things that are meaningless, and it takes away their joy, and it takes away their laughter, and it basically makes them miserable and depressed. How many people here like being miserable and depressed? I love misery and depression. You know, if people were honest, yep, there would be people raising their hands on the internet. I love misery and depression. Why? Because it lets them focus on themselves. That's a waste of time. How do you know that people love it? Because they keep it up. Everybody makes decisions on what they think is valuable, on what they think is somehow satisfying. Focusing on yourself means you think focusing on yourself is satisfying and will somehow profit you, or prosper you, or do something for you. It doesn't do anything for you. It makes you miserable, it makes you angry, it makes you depressed, it makes you anxious. None of those things I've ever thought of as being positive. But that's what people do. People are weird. Remember, guys, when people do weird things and you say, why are they doing that? Understand, they're weird. Sometimes people are just weird. God wants to make you laugh by the things that He does for you. And some people who like to focus on themselves say, well, He hasn't done much for me lately. They have no idea what they're talking about. Every moment of the day, there's an enemy in the world who would like to do nothing more than to kill you or destroy you or do you some harm. And guess who's keeping him from doing that? Guess who it is that's bringing all the good things that do happen to people? Yes, He does bring challenges because He's building something. He has to pound some nails and cut some wood. But He's building something. God really loves a sense of humor. God loves joy. He says the joy of the Lord is our strength. God loves to bring it on. God loves us laughing. By the way, did you know that when you laugh, you actually increase the length of your life? It's scientifically proven. You add time to your life every time you laugh. God wants to have people with a good long life. Part of that necessarily means there's going to be a lot of laughter in their life. God wants people being happy and joyful and enjoying themselves. God gets no pleasure out of people being miserable. But then there's no need for people to be miserable. Like I said, people are miserable because they're looking at themselves. They're focusing on the wrong thing. They're looking at the problem rather than looking at the solution. The problem never gives an answer. The answer does. I had a friend years ago. He had this saying, Jesus is your answer. What's your question? What's your problem? Jesus is your solution. Start with your solution and the question never becomes an issue. Start with your answer and the problem never becomes an issue. So what we do is we focus on our Savior. We focus on His promises. We focus on all He does for us. We focus on His kindness. If we fail, we focus on His mercy. We focus on His forgiveness. We focus on His gentleness. We focus on all that He is. We focus on the fact that He loves us. And then we focus on the things that He has done for us. When I'm not focused on Him, I can't see well. People are focused on an issue, a problem, whatever it is, a relationship that's not going right. And all they see is this relationship, but they don't see anything beyond it. Yet at the same time, it's infinite beyond it. They're so focused on the small, they never see the big. And that's called blindness. When I focus on things that are problems, I don't have joy because I can't see the things that are joyful. Because I become blind to them. You don't focus on the negative. Is there a trial? Sometimes, yes, there is. Is it a problem? Never. Does it make you feel good? Wrong question. Because your emotions are not based on your circumstances. Your emotions are based on how you're thinking. And if you're thinking correctly with God, your emotions are going to be good even in the worst of circumstances. It's like Richard Wurmbrand said. He was in prison for 14 years in the communist days of Romania. And Romania was a tough communist system. And he was tortured for 14 years. And for the first 8 years of that, he was put into cells with criminals and all kinds of wicked people, and sometimes with political people, and one of them eventually became a president. That used to be the communist way of promotion and political office. You had to go to jail before you could be president, it seems. But you know what? He said during those days, he would minister. He was a pastor and he was imprisoned because he wouldn't deny Christ. It's not because he was a criminal, it's because he was faithful. And the communists didn't like that. And so he was a faithful Christian. He would not deny Christ. And he would win people to Christ in prison. He would preach to the prisoners. He would win souls. A lot of people died in those prisons, and people would frequently get saved shortly before they died because of his ministry to them. Now, this was a miserable, difficult place to be. He was being tortured for years, and yet he said it was the most incredible ministry that he'd ever had. He wasn't focusing on the torture. He wasn't focusing on the negative. Now, granted, if somebody focuses on the torture, I don't know I would do any better than that, but he didn't. And he came out with an extraordinary confession and an extraordinary testimony, and he saw God do extraordinary things. Now, after 8 years, he was released, and they said, "You better not preach again." And the first thing he did, the day after he was released, he went into a church and he started preaching. A year later, they imprisoned him for 6 more years. Was he regretting it? No. Because the problem was not his focus. The problem was simply a situation whereby he got to know God in a way that he wouldn't have gotten to know Him otherwise. And the fact that he focused on the right thing produced joy in his heart. I met him one time. This was not a miserable man at all. He had some seriously powerful character. I mean, talking to this guy, even though I talked to him only briefly, you could tell this guy had had some experience with God. But there was such love and such gentleness and such sweetness in this man. That could only be built by trials. He had joy because he had the right focus. In Psalm 34:2, humility is required for gladness. I won't have joy unless I'm humble. Because unless I'm humble, I'm still going to be staring at myself. That's a characteristic of pride. But if I'm humble, it'll be no problem for me to stare at God. It'll be no problem for me to see His promises even before they arrive. It'll be no problem for me to be confident in what He'll do for me, because I'm not going to say to myself, well, this situation is so big to me, it must be big to God also. You're weird. If you think like that, honestly, you're weird. There's no situation that's hard for God. There's no mountain in God's eyes. There's no difficulty in God's eyes. There's only the things and the details that He uses to build us. No believer actually faces anything negative, because all things are from God in 2 Corinthians 5:18. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, they are for our sake. In Romans 8:28, they work together for our good. And in Romans 8:29, the good that they work together for is to conform us into the image of Christ. There's no such thing as a negative situation. The response might be negative, but the situation is not. But the response is within our control. We have the option to think with the mind of Christ. And if we think with the mind of Christ, we enter into the joy of Christ, because we have the life of Christ. It does take humility. In Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine. If I start to focus on the negative things, doctors have shown us that this produces stress, something called stress hormones, chemicals in our body that are released as a result of stress. And those chemicals actually have a really bad effect on our health. They can damage the heart, they can damage the nervous system, they can even damage things like your kidneys. But a merry heart alleviates stress. If I'm focused on the right thing and I have a merry heart because I'm trusting God, yeah, go figure. What a crazy concept is that? You can trust God in your circumstances. Wow, who would have ever thought? You know, that'll produce a lot of joy and you'll have a merry heart and the stress goes away. In Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. You can actually have a great deal of joy in your life and still go through difficult things. Why? Because it's not about the things. It's about your relationship to God. And God wants to make you laugh. Even in the difficult things, God wants to make you laugh. Now, Abraham and Sarah were given an impossible promise. Because people as old as they were, they don't have children. When the promise was given, Abraham was 90 and Sarah was 80. People don't have children at that age. But God gave that to them as a promise, and that's why Sarah laughed in a negative way, like scorn, like, you're crazy. But you know, when he came through and he fulfilled the promise, she laughed with real joy. And she said, other people will hear about this and they're going to laugh with me. It'll produce joy in their life. Laughter is contagious. You ever notice that? You see somebody laughing and you can't help but to at least smile, if not laugh with them. You actually enjoy their laughter. Well, God doesn't just bless you when you laugh. God blesses the people around you when you laugh. You have no idea the positive impact you make on other people's life when you are actually having a life with God. You watch somebody laugh and all of a sudden your stress disappears. It's really amazing how that works. God is going to bless other people because He's blessing you. And God makes you laugh, and that makes them laugh. God gives you joy, and that gives them joy. It's contagious. You have faith, and they have faith. You have the life of Christ in you, and that develops the life of Christ in them. Your relationship to God brings other people into a relationship to God. Everything about our life with God is contagious. Then again, negativity is contagious also. You ever walk into a place where there's a lot of negativity and people are very negative, and all of a sudden there's like this heavy spirit and you're just like, ooh, this is tough. That's contagious too. We always keep our focus right with God, because God wants to make us laugh, and if we keep that focus right, He will make us laugh. In Psalm 16:11, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. The presence of God is easy to enter into. You already live with Him. All you have to do is focus on Him and trust Him. God inhabits the praises of His people. Praise is simply commendation. I acknowledge and recognize what God has done for me, and that will bring me into the presence of God. You notice negative people never acknowledge what God is doing for them with that circumstance. But if I acknowledge that God has given me all these promises, and if I acknowledge that God has always been faithful to me every day of my life, and if I acknowledge that God always takes care of me, and it's always amazing how He does it, I'm not saying that there's always times where I haven't doubted or I haven't questioned or I haven't feared or what have you. What I am saying is God has always been faithful even when I'm like that. And you start actually acknowledging that and commending God in it, that brings in His presence. And when His presence is there, your joy gets to be full. And you start laughing. Some people, sometimes something will happen, and the only response they can have is laughter. Because it's so delightful. That's what happened to Sarah. It was so delightful to her that the impossible actually took place. Sarah is a person that lived in history. She was real. She's not an idea. She's not a character. She was a real person. Now, if God did that for Sarah, God will do same types of things for you. Because God is not a respecter of persons. That means that God doesn't say, well, I'll do it for this one, but not for this one. This one's my favorite, and this one not so much. People do that, God does not. God will give you exactly the same quality and the same faithfulness that He gave to Abraham and Sarah, that He gave to Moses, that He gave to David, that He gave to the apostles, every person in history, Samuel, all the people that saw the faithfulness of God. God will give you that same faithfulness. God will give you the same protection, the same provision. What He did for them, He will do it for you. Why? Because you're one of His. And He does it for everyone that belongs to Him. They weren't special in that regard. They're just like you are. And God is just as interested in you as He was in them. God is just as interested in you as He was in David or Moses. God has just as much of a plan for you, although the details are different. But the plan, He has just as much of a plan for you as He did for David or Moses or Abraham or Paul or any of these people. It's the same Holy Spirit living in you that lived in Paul, that lived in Jesus. The very same Holy Spirit indwells you that indwelled the Apostle Peter. It's not different, it's the same. They're exactly the same. Same individual. Well, He's living in you, and His desire is to make you laugh. There is this misconception in some religious circles, and I say religious because it has very little to do with a relationship to God. There's this misconception that says somehow that life with God has to be hard. That's baloney. That's a lot of hooey. Life with God isn't hard. Life with God is easy. It gets hard when I'm trying to do it. If it's hard, there's too much of you, too little of God. If it's difficult in any way, if it's complicated, some people say, yes, well, you have to understand it's complicated. No, it's only complicated because it's you-centered, not God-centered. If it's God-centered, it's really very simple. If it's you-centered, forget it. You don't have any hope at all. But God-centered, and it's really simple, it's really easy. God's the one who does it. You can sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. Respond to Him when He says something to you. Respond to Him in faith. Trust Him with all your heart. And things become really simple. But not only that, you get this really wonderful joy. And you get a merry heart, and it produces a ton of laughter. God loves laughter. He loves it. Because it shows a heart that's right with Him when it's the right type of laughter. He loves laughter. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, God says, rejoice evermore. Always be happy. That's what He's saying. Always be happy. Sometimes people don't like the word happy. Well, happy is circumstantial. No, always be happy. Happy is not circumstantial. Happy is the way that you think with God. And if you have the right thinking with God, then you will be happy. If you're not thinking with God, forget it. You have no basis anyway. But if you're thinking with God, that will make you happy. That'll produce joy. It says, rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, why would He say pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, and connect that to rejoice forevermore? Because praying without ceasing, and that's not meaning to say you can't do anything else, you're always on your knees 24/7. Praying without ceasing is actually just live in His presence. You know how when you're in somebody's presence, sometimes you're talking and sometimes you're not, but you're still in their presence? That's what He's talking about. Live in His presence. Realize, be conscious of the fact that you're in His presence 24 hours a day. It never goes away. That's praying without ceasing. And then in everything give thanks. Why? This is what protects your joy. People who are not thankful are not thankful because they change their focus. And that's where the negativity comes in. And everything give thanks protects you from negativity. It protects your focus. It keeps your eyes in the right place. It keeps your mind in the right place. And it'll take care of you. It protects you from the negativity. You're in a difficult situation, but you're giving thanks to God. You're always thankful to God. It will not allow a negative mindset to be produced, even in a difficult situation. It'll protect your joy. It's one of the most important things that a believer can learn, is to give thanks in everything because of the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. We are in a world that's controlled by the devil and demons. But we are not of this world, even though we live in this world. It's like living in a foreign country. We're still foreign to it. We still belong to a different country, even though we may live there. Well, thankfulness will protect us from the effects of Satan's world system. Satan would love to steal your joy. Because then he makes you pathetically weak. But if you protect your joy with thankfulness, He can't touch your joy. There's no hold for Him. God wants, with all His heart, He wants to make you laugh. And He wants you to have such joy from the things that He does for you, that it completely, completely changes your whole spirit into something very positive and fun and enjoyable. He wants you to enjoy your life with God. But for that, you have to keep your eyes on Him. Amen?
If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die, and give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.